Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a well of praise springing up right now. Go ahead. Let's let it flow a little bit here. Anything you want to thank God for. That's right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have been very good. It's our salvation. It's our salvation that rises to the top. Thank you, O Lord, for this great spiritual freedom and your blessings that have allowed them that. We praise you, Jesus. Always allow for the freedom and the passion and the unashamed expression of praise to my name and for my grace and mercy. Be cautious to not allow the good times to cause you to forget my goodness. And then on the other hand, be cautious that in times of trial or sickness or whatever it may be, that is not allowed to incarcerate and imprison you and your praise. But sing a song in your prison. Lift your voice in the darkness of the night, and I will receive that praise. For I read the passion of your heart, and I read the sincerity of what you mean and what you are saying. And so rejoice, give thanks, give praise, lift my name today, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right, go ahead, let's obey the Lord. Let's go ahead and follow. We follow your encouragement, God. We release our praise. Hallelujah. 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 He's worthy. God is worthy of our thanksgiving today. The fact that he would save us and redeem us and be willing to forgive any sin. And if you've been forgiven of any sin, then we can be thankful for that. But in case you've not been forgiven as yet because you have not asked for it, when you ask for it, you will receive it. But you could go ahead and thank God because he's willing to forgive you. To feel his presence, to feel his presence like we do. It's something to be thankful for. We never want to spend it or take it for granted, do we? I feel the desire and hear the sincerity. We want to appreciate everything the Lord has done for us. We want to really, truly appreciate everything that he is. You know what? Just to have the health enough to be here this morning. And to have the means and the opportunity, Lorenzo referred to it a while ago, where there could be such an oppression where we could not even have followed out a choice that we would want to make to be in the house of God. But all of that is really shouting territory right there. It's not going to take a great miracle. When it happens, we are going to praise God. But it's not going to take some dramatic miracle just to have breath and air to breathe. Hallelujah. Just to have the freedom to do what we're doing right now. I don't have to do that. I get to do that. And he's worthy. And this service points to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you focus on him just now? And would you say whatever you want to say to him or about him? I love you, Lord, and I'm so thankful for who you are. And I'm so thankful that you are real. And then I am thankful that you are the same. And your presence is here. And there is a covering and anointing to praise. In Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Revere may have have spurred his horse to run, but it was patriotism, desire for freedom and courage that spurred Revere to make that ride that night. 700 troops, British troops, were advancing to capture Patriots Samuel Adams and John Hancock. They were marching to Concord to arrest those men. But Revere, spurred on by a love for those men and appreciation and respect, but also courage, set out on his ride. He made a portion of that ride, but when he rode another 7 miles past warning Adams and Hancock, he was captured by the British patrol. One of the ladies who lived at that time, seeing her husband killed in battle, Margaret Corbin took his place at the cannon that he had been manning and continued fighting the enemy soldiers in her attempt to continue to defend what was called Fort Washington, located in northern Manhattan. Mrs. Corbin was seriously wounded and injured. She did live through that, but she became the first lady to receive a full military pension on behalf of our government because of her heroism. Most of us Americans certainly know the name George Washington, and he is known as the father of our country. What many may not fully realize is how fearless and courageous Washington was, especially in combat. Time after time, the record shows that Mr. Washington put himself in harm's way to rally the troops because of his courage. One writer said it this way: he led from the front. Not out front to be seen, but from the front to lead and guide in the midst of such great threatenings. His actions could be compared, the writer said, with the bravest of the brave in our great nation's history. Aren't you thankful for our nation? General Washington was never wounded. And here's what it caused both friends and foe alike to think. He must have the protection of divine providence, they would say. I believe that he did. Because God's hand has been upon this nation, and by the way, it still is upon this nation, whether or not it is acknowledged. At 6'3" in height, and with that distinctive general's uniform on, there was no doubt about who he was through the eyes of the enemy. Easily recognized. And of course, often a target for the sharpshooters. Why do you keep riding, Mr. Washington? Courage and desire and love for freedom. All of that could not faze him. He continued forward. Before that Revolutionary War, in the French and Indian War, he also served as an aide to a British general. A 1,300-man unit was trapped in a deadly ambush by the French and their Indian allies. 800 British soldiers were massacred. It's written that Washington rolled all over that battlefield carrying his leader's orders to other officers. When the two-hour engagement finally ended, it is documented that Washington had 4 musket ball holes in his greatcoat and had 2 horses shot out from underneath him. Various survivors later reported that the hail of gunfire around and toward him was so heavy they were expecting his death at any moment. And of course, not only in that engagement, but several others, he exhibited a valor, a bravery, and a courage that was housed in, thankfully, what we can call our first president and the father of our country. There is a courage that results in freedom. Keep your courage, because it is going to result in a freedom. Today we talk a lot about governmental and civil freedom, but there is also a spiritual freedom. And it's that which I most want to address today, to encourage you, keep your bravery. Whatever that looks like, keep your valor. Brothers and sisters, men and women alike, the writer writes in Deuteronomy 31, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He it is that does go with you." Not only is He with us, but He goes with us. When we move into new dimensions and new territories and new circumstances, He will not fail you nor forsake you. And Moses calls Joshua and says to the one who would succeed him, and he's in the sight of all the people of Israel, he says to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, for you must go with this people. You must lead them into this land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them." I want to stop here and insert, you are keeping your courage by a mandate from God to obtain a promise and a hope that you have seen in the vision of your faith. And then in verse 8, "And the Lord, He it is that does go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. Neither will He forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And then to Isaiah, the Lord gives this inspired quote, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Thank God for His help. Courage. Courage comes from the conviction that God is in control. If we do not have that thought or that idea in our mind, it would be very easy to turn and run from life and life's circumstance. But courage says God is in control. Therefore, I can do what God has moved upon me to do. The final line of our Declaration of Independence says, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Courage says, God loves me. He knows the situation that I am in. Courage says, God loves me. He's able to keep me and protect me or my loved ones in this. Courage that says and knows that God is in control says, God cares for me. He's able to take care of me. Courage says, God has saved me from sin, so He is able to deliver me from any conceivable danger. And I know I speak to scores of people who feel that same sentiment. We know that God is real. We know that He cares and loves us. And then we also know that He is in control. So if He saved us from our sin, if He has touched us as He has already in this very day, and He's kept us through another week, we know that He's also able to deliver us from any conceivable danger. I feel an emphasis on those three words. Any conceivable danger. God is able to keep you through any conceivable trial or circumstance, whether it be physical, our emotional, our spiritual threat. You see, our faith and our courage isn't founded on what we think God is going to do, or on what we hope He will do. Our courage and our faith is based on who God is. When we can't figure out the future, all we need to do is start thanking Him for who He is. When we can't plot out tomorrow or any future days about our life and about how our life is going to be affected by maybe what has happened in the past, what is happening in the present, or what will happen in the future, when we cannot plot that or figure that all out, I would just tell us that is not necessary, and many times it will not even be possible. But if we can just focus on who God is, He is greater. He is more powerful. He is above every other god. He has power above any other power, be it spiritual or secular power. He is our great God. And who He is, I'll tell you who He is. He's good. And He's that all the time. We don't always match up to that. God's good, and He's good all the time. When things aren't good with us, God's good. When sickness comes to us and our health is not good, God is still a good God. When our circumstances, financial or emotion, our relationship is not good, God is still good. He's wise. He's sovereign. And thank the Lord that you are faithful, God. You never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I could depend upon you last year or 20 years ago, we can depend upon you today. He's a faithful God. Take courage, Jesus said, because in this world you will have tribulation or trials. But Jesus Christ said, I've overcome that world. Some of you today may not feel real courageous, or feel that your courage is faltering if you would give an honest assessment of it. You may not feel like being brave. You're not ready to storm the gates of hell. You're not ready to do battle against the forces of darkness. This is your thought. In fact, you'd be happy if darkness took a vacation, if darkness would leave you alone, because you are battered and you are bruised and you are bleeding emotionally and spiritually. You want to retreat from the battlefield that your life has become. I would just stop long enough to say most of us have been there and done that. We may think to ourselves, God has made some kind of mistake, because if He thought I was strong enough to handle this, He was wrong. But God's never wrong. I'm not strong enough. I'm not even close to being strong enough. If I had a white flag, I'd wave it. In fact, it doesn't feel like I want to win anymore. I just want out of the situation, out of the relationship, out of life. And again, most of us have been there, or at least been close. But we walk by faith in God, not by feeling or not by sight. And we hold to that conviction of courage. God is in control. And whatever it may be that you are facing, some financial pressure, some family pressure, some emotional pressure, and the whole health pressure, whatever it may be, we do not walk by sight or feeling, but by faith, holding the conviction. I encourage somebody, get a grasp, a death hold on that flag of courage. Grip it till your hands turn white and red. Hold on to that conviction that said, God is in control. The circumstance says this one or that one who is causing this has control. But no, they do not. God is in control. In the midst of the trial, we hold the promise that God has made for us in our trial. And here it is. He will never allow any trial into your life that He and us together cannot handle. He soundly affirms in His Word, greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. And Jesus said it, these things I've said to you so that you might have peace. I feel like stopping right there for a moment. Jesus said these things. He was talking about His Word, what He'd been talking about that day, but it could apply to His talk on any day. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. This is your peace right here. That may sound very simplistic, but that's what Jesus said. He said, these words I've spoken unto you, and the reason I spoke them is so that you could pull peace out of those, and they could place peace into you. Then He says, in this world, the honesty of Jesus, not trying to whitewash anything. In this world, you shall have tribulation, trial, difficulty. But be of good cheer. And that phrase literally translates out, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Our courage is not just on us or in us. Our courage is because of Him and that He has control. I believe if we will lift God up, if I can do my part to lift Him up in this message, and you can do your part to lift Him up in your thanksgiving and praise, you are going to overcome this situation that has tried to overwhelm and overcome you. And what He had to say to Paul, He has to say to us. My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect during your weakness. Hold on to your courage. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. Because when I am weak, then am I strong. He is my courage. We can take courage in the knowledge that God is in control. I submit something to you that you already know, but would you please listen to it again? He has not been defeated. And I do talk ever, but I'm talking about in your circumstance. He has not been defeated. Would you say that with me? He has not been defeated. He has not become distracted during your circumstance. He is seated on the throne. He's still sovereign over the events in our world and our lives. He is so wise and loving, and He is actively working out all things for our ultimate good. He never makes a mistake. He cannot be beaten, and His love never fails, and we belong to Him. We claim Him, but He claims us. Would you give God thanks that you belong to Him? And maybe just say, Jesus, I want to identify even closer with You. I thank You, O Lord. I thank You, O Lord. Possessing a courage that brings freedom calls for facing and withstanding trouble. The currency of freedom is courage. It cost us something, and we've referred to some of those costs earlier today for our wonderful nation. Just because we have courage and may be brave does not exempt us from life's difficulties and dilemmas. America was discovered through courage, despite unknown seas and lands and territories of the globe that was west of Europe. We're here because of courage. Our national independence was won because of courage in the face of the threat from the government of England that we were breaking away from. Those who have served our nation, and thank you, by the way, once again, in wars and in our history, who protected and preserved our freedom, possessed a courage to face the challenges of cruel dictators like a Hitler or a Stalin, the attempt of communist North Korea to overrun South Korea in the mid-50s, cruel and ruthless communist regimes in Vietnam, and in more recent history, courage had to stand in the face of an Ayatollah Khomeini and Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden and others. Freedom from oppression of governments like these, but also freedom from emotional and spiritual enemies, calls for courage in spite of the difficulty. I do want to encourage somebody today. We want to pray for you in the midst of that difficulty and dilemma. We want to identify and have empathy as much as we can. But also we want to add the words of encouragement. Maintain your courage in spite of or in face of whatever the difficulty might be. As much of a blessing as it is to know that God can deliver us from trouble, we know that He doesn't always deliver us from trouble. Ultimately, He's going to deliver us from every danger and take us to heaven. But in this present world, Jesus said, I've got to tell you the truth. You are going to have difficulties and trials and tribulation and sorrow and struggle. We look forward to that different world. None of those things will be there. But really, in honesty, we're going to confront it today. That world is not our world yet, because in this world, we do have tribulation. And in the face of those threatenings and difficulties, we can still have courage. Freedom, your emotional freedom, your healing, your deliverance, your spiritual freedom, it will cost some currency of courage. You look through Hebrews chapter 11. You read through the first section of that chapter, and there are experience after experience of victory and deliverance. But as the chapter gets to verse 36, verse 36 becomes like a hinge on which that chapter swings, because we find out that not only was there Abraham and Isaac and Moses and other great heroes of faith like Joseph, but we find out there are and others. Others. And verse 37 points out what it cost them. They were imprisoned. These were others who had faith. Some of them were actually sawn in half. They trusted. They believed the same God that Moses and those that crossed through the Red Sea believed in. But because of God's sovereign order and His plan, these were stoned and tempted. There wasn't the relief from, but I can tell you there was the blessing and the relief through the situation. Destitute, afflicted, and tormented, those verses say. But in the midst of all of that, there was the conviction in their heart, and it's in ours. God is still in control. We must never lose that. When we lose that, we will lose our courage. We can only trust ourselves so far, can't we? We must be admissive of that. We can only trust in ourselves so far. But we can trust in this fact. God is still in control. And when you trust in that, you are trusting in a truth. He certainly is. You know, courage. Sometimes we may get the wrong perception of courage. But you know what? Courage is doing things even when you're scared. I've heard it argued, well, no, you're not courageous. You're afraid. But you can be afraid and courageous at the same time. Because courage is not the absence of fear. Do not wait for your fear to leave. But courage is the overcoming of that fear. And so we can be afraid and still hold and display courage. Brave people, be it spiritual or in the natural, do not stop hearing whispers of fear in their ear. They hear the whispers, but they take the right action anyway. Do not let the whispers of fear cause you to think or be frustrated that you've lost your courage. No, in fact, in that moment, you may have more than you have ever had. At some point and to some degree, we will experience a fear, but you can trust God more than you trust your fear. I submit that to somebody today. Trust God more than you trust your fear. Being brave is hearing that voice of fear in your head, but saying, okay, I hear that. But what the truth is, God's with me and He's for me. Because the enemy of any kind, be it devil or be it your own thoughts, because it whispers in your ear, that does not mean that you are defeated. Nor will you be defeated in whatever your circumstance that you are facing, whatever that might be. In fact, on occasions of some of our greatest fears, that becomes the open door to some of the greatest changes and the greatest dimensions in our lives. So we must step out. Hear me today. Step out. So what's the conditions for that, Pastor? When I feel all this fear gone and when I just have such a faith that it's just busting out the top of my head? No. Step out full of fear. Fear makes us feel unworthy to come to an altar. Fear makes us feel unworthy to say, I'm going to go ahead and trust God. But in the midst of that fear, courage overwhelms that fear. So go ahead and pray anyhow, even though you may be full of fear, trusting that God is with you. And every time you have trusted Him, He has been with you. And every time you will trust Him in your future, He will be there. And He's going to be there for you now, today, in this present situation. He is faithful. Why be courageous? And I want to preach a responsibility for the next few moments. Why be brave? Well, of course, we personally gain victory when we plow on through or hold on through. But an added byproduct of your courage is that it will inspire others to be courageous. That lady who seated herself behind the cannon, Deborah Gannett that Brother Reaver referred to, that posed as her brother, they both saw the bravery of others, and it inspired bravery in them. This inspiration thing, it's why you see what are normally rational adults go down a loop-de-loop water slide, even if they don't want to, because they're trying to show their kids, it'll be okay. You can make it. When you get to the bottom, you're going to feel better than I felt when I got to the bottom. Somebody has to start. Somebody has to go first in your family. We're courageous to keep our pledge to God. We're courageous to benefit personally from it. But we're all so courageous so that others will be inspired. You know, I can pray for that. I can fast for that. I can believe, and I want to tell you by personal testimony, and I had not even thought to put this down, but it's upon me right now. When I look across, and sometimes I try to tell individuals, but I look across and I see individuals that come onto the house of God, and they worship and they praise God, and I have only just a little bit of an inkling of what they're going through. It inspires something in me. It ignites something in my spirit, and it helps to affirm my faith. And it really, literally, it makes me say in my mind and my spirit, if they can and they will do that, and they're going through that circumstance, then I can and I will and I should do that. It's a domino effect. Your faith, courage, and reliance upon God will not only change and help you, it will change the people around you. Courage leads to freedom. Freedom from the bondage of fear. God wants to release somebody today from a bondage of fear. Go ahead and spend your faith in Him and the courage to have that faith. And I don't even know, God has not directed me to specify what kind of fear. It could be emotional. It could be a literal fear of when you see something that you have fear. Or maybe it's troubles. I don't know. I'm just listing some things. But courage will lead to freedom from that bondage. Hear me. This is a great battlefield right here. Courage is going to lead to freedom from the torture and harassment of a low self-esteem because of your past failures and your past experience. It's not so much that others do not think well of you. It's more importantly that you do not think well of yourself. But courage leads to freedom from that. God has not intended for you and I to operate under that torture of low self-esteem. And freedom from intimidation or the attack of the enemy. And freedom will come and courage will lead to a freedom to be who God intends for you to be. I will tell you this morning, standing somewhere about right over here during pre-service prayer time, the Lord impressed me that He has other dimensions and new spiritual realms and territories for you to have, explore, but have and possess in your life. And your courage is going to be the free, will bring the freedom to be who God intends for you to be and to do what God intends for you to do. It's like Columbus and those men setting off sailing out toward the west. Others said, you won't make it, either because of the perils and the dangers of the sea or literally because there's nowhere to go, because when you get to a certain point, the world is flat and you will go off over the end of the world. But I'm going to tell you, God's world is not flat. There is no edge to where God wants to lead you and take you. And I'm talking to people spiritually and naturally right now, that God wants to take you to dimensions that you have thought about, you have prayed about, and you have dreamed about. And it is totally possible because God is in control. Courage will bring you the freedom of a total trust and reliance upon the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond in the opening of this altar. But I do want to lay this in your mind and heart. We can be courageous because we were always intended to be courageous. That's how God designed us. There is fear and lack of valor and bravery. It is because of something that we either have concocted or something that has happened in our life and in a circumstance that has sown a seed of fear, distrust, and doubt. I want to tell all of us today, God made you to be brave and courageous. I'll also tell you this, it's scary to be who you're meant to be. It doesn't feel easy because it's not easy. But we were made for this. God said, you're my workmanship, created to do good works and reflect me. And also, God has good plans and a great destiny for your future. Jeremiah 29 and 11. This is God. It's kind of like he almost comes down in human terms before he did come down as a human. He said, don't worry. I know the thoughts I have toward you. In other words, you're not imagining those things. I can do this for God. I can be this for God. The Lord is saying, I know the thoughts. In other words, it's not happenstance. It's not forced. And they are thoughts of peace. Anybody that is lacking peace today, I'm going to tell you the torment of lack of peace and the torment of nerves, and all of us have been there to some degree, some perhaps more than others. To live in unrest and confusion is a torture and it is a misery. But this very day and this very week that has led up to this Sunday, God said, I've been thinking thoughts of peace about you. God is not up there saying, what are they doing lacking trust? What are they doing getting all frustrated? He's thinking peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. I want to send it. I want to give it. God, his thoughts. Excuse me, folks. I believe you believe this, but I just need to make this point. Either we believe the word or we don't. Either we take and live it, or it's just something for preachers to get sermons out of and Sunday school teachers to. But God meant it to be our very life and the power of our life. And if he says, I can't afford to doubt that, who am I would even doubt? I'm thinking thoughts of peace. And then he adds, just so you feel good, not of evil. I want to erase any question in your mind. What I'm thinking, it's peace, not evil. To give you an expected end. To give you the destiny that you and I are agreeing upon. I have for you. He's got today in mind, but hear me. Young person, elder person, middle age. God has today in mind, and he also has tomorrow in mind for your situation. Would you stand together with me, please? One of the reasons it's not easy sometimes to pray in your personal life, at home, to walk down to an altar, to make any kind of spiritual progress, is because it's not easy. And it takes courage. It takes courage. Our courage is based upon him and the fact, God, you're in control of my life. There's somebody wanting a change of life. You can have it today. Because the one who is in control can make us new creatures, with old things passing away and all things becoming new. I would invite those in that situation. I would invite others that are in the midst of a storm or a battle or a struggle. And like Washington, there may be musket holes in your garment. Being shot at doesn't mean you don't have faith and you're not in the will of God. Sometimes that's exactly what it means. Because there is danger. There is opportunity. I don't even begin to know or claim to know the Chinese language, but I did read this, that the symbols that they use for the word crisis are a combination of the two words danger and opportunity. And they put those two symbols together to form the word crisis. If you are in a crisis today, or when you will be, yes, there is danger, but there is also opportunity for God's glory. That's why Paul said, he will, with every danger, temptation, make a way of escape. In your crisis, he is still God. You can take the courage for your crisis. I'm going to ask you just to begin to come, would you? Whatever need that humming represents. And when you come, just begin to pour it before the Lord and let your prayer, maybe you could say it at the beginning and then mix it in as you pray. God, you are in control. That's what moves us to an altar today. That's what moves us to a time of faith and prayer. That God, you are in control. That's why courage comes. It's not our years of faith and faithfulness. It's not. It's you, God. It's you. I'm going to ask that all over this building, would you turn it into a prayer room and a time of prayer all over this room? And you will be upholding the arms and the hands of your brothers and sisters who come with represented needs today. Let's pray together all over this house now, right now, Lord. We do ask. We know that you are with us, and now I pray that our courage would step forward and ride forward. Hallelujah. And help us to get a hold of that banner of faith and courage. Hold today against me. Peace. He has order for your disorder.